Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And all I could do is say praise be to God. It is Wednesday night, time for words of wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to come before the people of God and for you guys to take time out of your schedule and come as we meet together to explore the Word of God together. I can't find anything better to do on tonight, and evidently each and every one of you feel the same. I just want to remind us that all glory and honor belongs to God. God alone. I pray that everyone had a righteous week and that things that you maybe wanted and needed to do got done. And everything is well with you and your family. Tonight our lesson is titled, Why Did Jesus Have to Come? We're going to expound on the third chapter of Genesis. As always, we play a song, but I want you to be prayerful for our Bible study, that God continue to bless us in the blessings that we need, and the Holy Ghost is always present, giving illumination and revelation. You know, I always let you guys know that I can only give information. The Holy Ghost is live, alive and well and doing what God intended for him to do. He called the word that you received to your memory in the time of need. God has a wonderful master plan, and everything necessary for us to live a righteous life is included. You know, nothing that we need or nothing that needed to be done or nothing that is needed to be done, God haven't coveted. And that's why it should be easy for us to trust him. Not in some things, but in all things. With prayer and supplication and just make your request known and leave it there with God. God is always with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we have to believe it if we want to achieve it. So what I'm going to do is play the song at this time, and I'll come back and we'll explore the Word of God together. Be prayerful. Listen to the words of the song. The title of the song is God is Able. And I thought it was appropriate for tonight as we explore and see what God has in mind for his people and how he's working it out together for our good. The title of the song is God is Able. When the song is completed, we'll go to the throne of grace. And then we'll explore the Word of God together.
God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. God is able, God is able. God is able, and He won't fail. Tell me who can make a mountain move out of my way? Who can make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. Never forsake. No, He won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
That's such a beautiful song, and it's just telling us that God won't fail. You know, the Bible teaches us that man can and will let us down all the time, but God will never fail. And in not failing is having your best interest at heart. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And remember this, that He will not fail. At this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And anyone who would like to pray, press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. It's now prayer time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master, the Holy One, the one that has promised never to leave us, the one that will never fail, the one who have our best interests at heart. He's our Creator and the author and the finisher of our faith, the Holy One, the Mighty God. Lord, I just take time to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Lord, you have brought us all the way through 2018, and there's only a few weeks left in the year 2018. And Lord, I say thank you for all that you have done and you're doing right now and all of the promises that you have promised to do for each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for your Spirit. And Lord, I thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit, our Comforter and our Guide, the one who is guiding us and protecting us and calling things to our memory that we need to go straight. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives illumination of the Word so that we can understand what the Spirit is saying and that we could grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we could proclaim your name boldly in the world as you have commanded, telling everyone about someone who could save everyone. Lord, that's our job to do. And as we're being taught on tonight by your Spirit, we realize that we are only being taught that we may teach. Heavenly Father, have your way with this lesson on tonight. Touch the eyes of the people so they can truly see. Open up their ears where they can really hear. And allow their hearts to be open to receive the Word of God. This is my prayer. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, and thank God. Well, I'm going to say the title of our lesson again because so many callers have called in while the program has been going on. And our lesson tonight, the title is, Why Did Jesus Have to Come? And that's a question. I know that this program doesn't allow enough time where I could ask the question and everybody could give an answer. But when the question is presented, each and every one of us should meditate and think about why did Jesus have to come? And as I go into the lesson, and always we have background, I use information concerning the book of Genesis for the background. And first of all, I want you to know that Genesis was written by Moses. And plenty of times, whenever I say a book was written, you know, I used to say the author of the book, but the reason I say written now is because when you read the Word of God in the Bible, you understand that they say the Bible was written by man but inspired by God. So in a sense, God is the author of the Bible, but he allowed different men to write it. So I say the book of Genesis was written by Moses and is called one of the books of the law. The word Genesis means the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we will see the hand of God at work as he spoke his creation into existence. You know, they say everything was with God before it happened, like he was, you know, in his heaven and he was, you know, doing whatever he was doing, and he was thinking about a perfect creation and perfect people and perfect design, and he had a master plan, and then he spoke it into existence. Because really, in the book of Genesis, when they say, let there be, it all was. You see, God spoke all things into existence by his word. And with the word, he designed the entire universe and mankind. There's a scripture in John 1:1, which says, in the beginning was the word. And it was with God. And the word was God. Here we see that John is letting us know that Jesus and God are one. You see, God created us because he wanted a people, a holy family. So he created us in his own image and likeness so that we could be on one accord. God wanted us to fellowship with him, and he provided all provisions necessary for us to live in harmony with him. He did everything was necessary. So when he created his people, if they would obey, they would be with him, and they could commune together, and they could fellowship one with another. God did his part. It's time for us to do ours. God has perfect knowledge of all things. His understanding is so much greater than ours. And he has no limits. God knows everything. And yes, he knew that man would fall and sin would enter the world. It didn't take God by surprise. A part of God's plan included the redemption of man, and that's why Jesus had to come. I want you to know tonight that God did not orchestrate the fall of man, but he did allow it. Nothing has ever happened that God didn't know beforehand, and nothing has ever or will take him by surprise. God knows everything you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And he knew it before the foundation of the world. And yet, if you look back over your life, you could see his hand working it out together for your good. Yes, you had hard times, and yes, you had good times. And I'm sure you're going to have some more hard times. And you're going to have some more good times. But it didn't take you out because you're still here. You see the plan of God for all of our lives. Jeremiah 29:11, the word of God said, God knows the plan he has for you. A plan of good and not of evil. And for each and every one of us, the scripture goes on to say he has an intended end for our lives. God began his creation with the end in mind. And is working all things out for our good. He started and will complete all that is needed through eternity for you and for me. But it's our job to trust him. Another Bible in the scripture, Philippians 1:6, says, this is Paul telling the people, and it's God telling us today, and the Holy Ghost going to, you know, bring it to our memory when we need it, because we looking at it with our whole hearts on tonight. Come on, y'all. And that scripture in Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So Paul was giving encouragement and telling the people, hold on. When God saved you, before God saved you, he took care of you because he allowed his grace to be on the just as well as the unjust. And then you accepted his son and became saved. And he began to do a work on you. This scripture is telling you, hold on. Keep learning, keep searching, keep praying, keep doing your best to obey, because the work that he begun in you, he's able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But before we can understand why Jesus had to come, we must first understand the fall of mankind, its cause and the effect. You see, the cause was man sinned. That's what created the fall. The fall of man happened when man sinned. That's the cause. And the effect was that man was separated from God and destined to die. Sin, God doesn't dwell in sin. And because sin entered, it separated us from God. So we was in a hot mess. The cause and the effect of man. We were destined to die. But the good news I want to tell you tonight is God's master plan and his perfect will for man. He has made a way for us to be redeemed and brought back to him and have fellowship with him and him with us. It all will be accomplished and has been accomplished through Jesus Christ. That's our background for tonight. And we're going to start reading the scripture starting at the first verse in the third chapter. And we're going to read to the fourth verse. And the scripture reads as follows. Now the serpent was most subtle. That's meaning cunning and crafty, you know. He was slick. Than any beast in the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. That's Satan coming, lying through his teeth. Told that to the woman. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, she was correcting him, you know. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, baby, you know, ye shall not surely die. Satan will tell you anything to get you to accept what he wants you to accept. You see, the beginning of Genesis, in the first and second chapter, we see God had a master plan before the foundation of the world for his creation and humanity. And the Bible said it was all good. He created the sun, the stars, the moon, the this, the that, the this, the that. Man. He created man. And he made woman from man. And he sat back and he said it's all good. He placed them in paradise. It was all good. You see, everything was created perfectly. Everything was in order and had a divine purpose, because God is a God of purpose, y'all. It couldn't get any better than that. Adam and Eve was placed in a garden of Eden where everything that they needed was provided for. They didn't have to get there and wait. They got there and it was there. Hallelujah. And it was provided not by their own hands, not by their strength or their might or their mind, but by the hands of God. And guess what? It wasn't enough, evidently. See, no matter how much God do for some of us, the way we act is like it's not enough. When we be unappreciative, it's like we saying it's not enough. God do it for you this way, and you can't accept it because you want it done another way. You have to know you're not afforded the privilege, and you're not in charge. You see, the serpent comes and lies to the woman and God and said, God said, you shall not eat from all of the trees. Eve corrected him. You know, she said, you know, we could eat, drink, and be merry, but just don't touch the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. We shouldn't touch it, or we'll die, or eat it. You see, this let me know when Eve corrected him, proved that she knew the truth. Some people say, oh, God made the command to Adam and maybe Eve didn't know. Here we see that Eve corrected him as to what God really said. She knew the truth. You see, once corrected, he tried again. Because Satan never give up trying to get us to accept his lies. He lies again and say that you will not die. You see, at that time, they was living in a state of innocence. It was all good. Evil was not present. And it wasn't even a concern for them. It was not there. It was all good. So really and truly, all they had to do was receive their many blessings, sit back and relax, and obey God. But that didn't happen. If we look at verse 5 all the way through verse 11, and the scripture reads, for God do know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, with a little G in your Bible. Whenever in your Bible you're reading and it says God or gods and it's a little G, it's not talking about the Almighty God. So that's why they got a little G, because she could never be God. So when you see your little G's, that's idol gods and a reference to a God, but not the God. So he said, for God do know it that in the day ye eat, therefore then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. And 6 said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to her eyes and the tree to be desired to make her wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves an apron. Soon as they ate, all hell broke loose. And verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. And 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. In 11 verse, God said, who told thee that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? You see, here we see that the serpent comes back, not giving up. I want you to know that temptation is Satan's invitation to give, for you to give into the kind of life he wants you to live. You see, Satan can only tempt. He places the thought in your mind, trying to get you to accept his perceptions. once you accept it, it becomes your reality. And what was said to you seemed to be real, and in Eve's case, good. But I come to tell you tonight, it's never the truth. You see, Satan always try to use the scripture, try to twist and try to lie. When he talked to Jesus about Jesus, when he was tempting Jesus, and he told Jesus, you know, if you, you know, the scripture say if you do this, the angel's going to come. Jesus said, man, don't play with me. And I'll give you this and I'll give you that. Jesus said, look, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You got to have word in you to know when you're trying to be deceived. Because if you really don't know, then how you, it may sound good to you. You don't have nothing to line it up against. But once you accept it, it becomes a part of your reality. And what was said seemed to be real and good, but it's never the truth. You see, if you eat what they said, God told them, your eyes will be open. Be as God, knowing. No, God didn't tell him this was Satan. Satan said, if you eat, your eyes will be open. You will be gods, knowing good and evil. He told her that. But do you realize that it was a half-truth? Hallelujah. Because he told them that, and that's really what would happen. But he left out the consequences. So many people walking around and don't understand consequences. You see what she did? She accepted his perception. She took, she ate, and she gave some to her husband. You know, and maybe after, I didn't say the Bible said this, I'm talking now. Maybe after Eve didn't die immediately is when Adam decided to eat. In that moment of small rebellious, something so beautiful and free was shattered. God's perfect creation, the beautiful garden, being able to live there and all your provisions met. You didn't have to work for what you needed. You didn't even need clothes because, remember, it was a dispensation of time of innocence. Hallelujah. They didn't die physical at the moment, but the death process was put in motion. Come on, y'all. But they did die a spiritual death. They didn't fully understand, and that's the same way with us. We do not understand fully everything that God is saying to us, but we have to trust him, and we have to obey him. And sometime, by and by, we will understand. You see, once the disobedience took place, everything was changed. Their eyes was open to things that they had never had to be concerned with. You know, if you pick up a sin in your life right now, I'll say an easy sin. Let's just say cheating. And you begin to cheat. Once you know, the sin occurs, you have to be concerned with things you wasn't concerned with before. You don't have to be telling lies or where you're going and doing things. You know, that's what sin does. That's what sin does. It makes you have to be concerned with things that you weren't concerned with before. Another prime example is drugs. You know, now you start doing drugs and liken it to some degree, look at the things you do that you didn't do before. Sin make you concerned with things that didn't concern you before. Sin produced shame. shame let you know that you are out of order. They knew that they were naked, and they immediately tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. You see, now they done messed up, and they're going to decide the corrective measure to use for their messing up. They use fig leaves. And to God, evidently, it wasn't appropriate, it wasn't what he wanted, and it couldn't do the job. You see, their lack of clothing and the innocence it entails, which represented the state of pure love of God. Everything was pure and beautiful. Sin, now they know they're naked. When we have done wrong and hear the voice of reasoning, we try to duck and hide. The Bible saying not new under the sun. Adam and Eve was in the beginning. I guess that was something like 600 years ago, because the Old Testament is 4,000 years ago. The Old Testament is about 4,000 and something. From Jesus to now is 2,000 and something, 600,000 years. And the same thing is happening. Soon as you do it, you try to duck and hide. You see, God called Adam, "Where art thou?" Conviction immediately came upon Adam, and Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked." Full knowledge of good and evil entered in, and the state of innocence was gone forever. You know, there's dispensation of time. The first dispensation was innocence. The second was consciousness. I think the third is government. Right now, we live in a dispensation age of the church. And that's another lesson, and maybe we'll do it one time. But the dispensation of time, of innocence, was gone immediately. And now the dispensation of conscience had come in. You know, God asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Not because he didn't know where he was. You know, God is all-knowing. But to hear what he was going to say. Now, God told him, "Who told you he was naked?" Did you eat of the fruit that I, you know, asked you not to eat? You just obeyed me? Because you wouldn't even know you're naked unless you sinned. And the only command I gave you was not to eat of a special tree in the midst of the garden. That's deep. I just thought of that just now. That's how God knew he had disobeyed, and that's how God knew what he had did, because it was the only command he told him, you know, the only thing he told him not to do. One thing, and he failed the test. And if we look at verse 12 and 13, the man said, "The woman that whom thou gave it to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You see, when you look at that, when you do something wrong, the right thing to do is to admit it. Just man up and take your lick and keep it moving. This is where the blame game entered the world, and it is alive and well even today. The man blamed God when he told him, "The woman you gave me." Yes, God did give him the woman, but it was for his own good. That was a beautiful thing. Adam was happy as a lark, as they say. When he looked at Eve, he said, "Woman." And now he want to blame God for his sin with the woman that God gave him. You see, sin blinds us from seeing the blessing. The woman, she turns around and blames the serpent, who really didn't make her eat the fruit, but suggested with lies. She even corrected him, and yet she still ate. You know, you have to watch who you are listening to and who advice you follow. And if we listen, look at the next verses, verse 14 through 19, it says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly shall thy go, and the dust shall be, the dust shall thou eat all of the days of your life." He said, "You're gonna crawl on your belly till I come and just destroy you." And 15, "I will make entities between thee and the woman." That word there just means I'm gonna make enemies. So I'll say it with that. I will make enemies between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head," talking about Satan, "and thou shalt bruise his heel," the woman's seed. 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception." I'm going to multiply pain and sorrow when you are conceiving, when you are delivering a baby in your conception. "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." 17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou had hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. 19, and in the sweat of his face shall thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, but thus thou art, and thus thou shalt return." He's saying, you know, this punishment is going to be on you till you die. You know, you took that temporary moment of so-called pleasure, disobedience. He said, but, you know, this is going to carry you till you die. Adam, thus I made you, thus you return, thus when you return, the dust you die. So that's what he's telling me. It's not going to stop. Nothing's going to reverse this. It's going to happen until you died. You see, here we see that Adam and Eve chose their course of action, which was disobedience. And now God chooses his. You see, because of God's nature, all holy, all righteous, you know, all good, he could not allow sin to go unchecked. Adam and Eve's sin set in motion the world's tendency towards disobeying God. We all have inherited our sinful nature from Adam. Everybody born have a sinful nature. And as long as there's flesh on your body, that sinful nature is going to be in operation. Once we accept Christ, we have the Spirit. That's why they say the Spirit in the flesh, you know, it's in the war daily. Sometimes the flesh wins, and sometimes the Spirit wins. Now God cursed the serpent and made him our enemy. You see, when they talking about the serpent seed, that's his followers, his imps, his demons, you know, and all of them. That's his seeds. And her seeds is going to be Her seed is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is going to be born of a woman. Her seed would go all the way down the line to Jesus Christ. And then once Jesus Christ died, everyone who accepts him as a savior becomes a seed. So all of his imps is going to be enemies with all of us that love the Lord. And it will happen until God destroy the world. Revelation said by fervent fire. Fervent fire. And everything become new. So when he said that, that's what the scripture is saying. Her seeds and his seeds. And it went on to say that now God cursed the serpent and made him our enemy, like I'm saying. And he will bruise our seeds, heal, and our seed will crush his head. You got to realize that things that God put in the Bible, and it's so amazing that even in Genesis, in the third chapter, God was letting us know. Well, first of all, man fell. We know that's the main thing in chapter 3. But also, by the 15th chapter, God had given us the promise of salvation. You see, a strike on the heel is not deadly as a blow in the head. Glory be to God. God is introducing a part of his master plan concerning salvation through his son. You can't understand how awesome God is and how God really looks out for you when man fell in the third chapter and a plan of redemption is in the 15th verse. What an awesome God we serve. You know, the woman shall suffer pain, and her husband going to rule over. And then he told Adam, because of you, the ground is going to be cursed till you die. You see, whenever we do things our way, we should always remember God has the last word. Adam and Eve took the chance and did what they wanted to do. Now they gotta face the consequences. They gotta face the music. God's gonna have his way. But you need to respect him. When things don't go like we want and God don't do what we think, we gotta respect him. You see, and if we look at 20 through 24, and they say Adam called his wife Eve because she's the mother of all living things. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins. See, they used them figs. It wasn't. God said, that ain't what I'm looking for. So God turned around and made them what was really necessary. He made coats of skins and he clothed them. 22. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. See, we see that God had to put him out the garden. You know, in the garden there was two trees, not one. One tree that had the fruit of good and knowledge. And there was another tree, which is the tree of life. They ate of the tree of good and evil, and their eyes was open, and they, you know, their innocence was gone, and they was in a dispensation of conscience now and had another tree of life. You see, the tree of life, God took them out of the garden, and he put angels to protect it with flying swords. Y'all read it. That they won't touch it. Because if they ate of the tree of life, they would not ever die. Watch this. While death is tragic, and death is our enemy to God's perfect creation. He didn't create it to be that way, but sin brought in death. This same curse of death. See, God had to curse them to make his plan be fulfilled and for everything to work out as he wills it to. So God cursed them with the curse of death. It's also what allowed Christ to become man and to actually die on the cross as a ransom for his people. You see, if Adam had eaten from the tree of life after he had sinned, all mankind would live forever. Watch this. Estranged and separated from God because of sin would still be on us. We would be estranged from God and Christ, our Redeemer, and would not have been able, Christ would not have been able to die on the cross. Because if sin didn't, if death didn't enter the world, how could Jesus die on the cross? And for us that live with a sin nature and once lived in sin and been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if we couldn't die, how could we receive and enter into eternal life? In other words, if God did not subject sinful humanity with the cause of death, sinful man would not have any chance of being reconciled back to God. If God did not present Adam from eating from the tree of life after he had sinned, a future redemption through the physical death of one man, Adam, but his descendant, Jesus Christ, would not have been possible. So the honorary, you know, the flip side of all of this is that while the wages of sin is death, and while death is the last enemy that would eventually be destroyed, at the final consummation of all things, you see, after the day of judgment and everybody who going to be with God, going to be in everybody, you know, the fire is going to burn up this world and all that's in it. And then there's going to be a new Jerusalem. See, and then there will be no more death, because those who died without Christ is going to be in the pits of hell, and everybody else is going to be with their Savior. So death would be ended. That's why the Bible says, oh, death, where's your sting? Jesus gave us victory over death. The entrance of physical death is also the provision that allows for the gospel of redemption, the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's master plan for salvation, God's plan to have his people in a relationship with him. And as I close, the Bible goes on to teach us that if we look at Romans 5 and 17, for if by one man's offense, see, God said, you know, Adam sinned and Eve sinned. He said, what kind of God would I be to allow everybody to be under the same penalty and have all of the same consequences that Adam had without giving them a way to choose for themselves. You see, that's why the Bible said every tub is going to stand on his own bottom, and every man's going to be judged for their own deeds. So God is such a fair God, a reasonable God. He said, you know, I got to do something. So if you look at Romans 5 and 17, they say, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, by one man, Adam's sin, that came into the world, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness, that's when we accept Jesus Christ, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. One man, Adam, brought it in. That's why they call Adam the first Adam, and they call Jesus Christ the second Adam. One man brought the sin in, and one man came and conquered the sin. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And God is so good. We see his plan. We see man's and how man mess up from the beginning of time. Not new under the sun. And man will continue to mess up. But those who accept Christ as their Savior, even when Jesus, when God took and gave them the skins, you know, they covered up with fig tree. God said, no, that ain't going to do. Because you see, for the remission of sins, they have to be the shedding blood. And God did kill an innocent animal. But for our sins, Jesus was killed and he was innocent. See, God is pointing you to the things that he wants you to know in his master plan. And Jesus is coming back. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm sure there's someone who would like to add, or someone who would like to give encouragement, or someone who would like to pray. Caller, your number is 1-6-7-8-5-9. Your mic is open.
All right, thank y'all. Prayer line. I'm going to close out with a prayer, but I also want y'all to pray for me. I lost my husband February the 12th of this year. I just called the coroner for my son's grandmother 2 hours ago. Yes, men have a sin. But when you live a victorious life, you leave a legacy behind. The Bible tells us to cry when a child is born into this evil world because they're born into sin, but to rejoice when one is called home to heaven. She was truly a prayer warrior. I know many of her prayers have me covered as well as her grandson. Pray for me and my son, and I will pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious God, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the remission of our sins. God, we thank you that you had a plan to come back and to take us all to your kingdom. Because you said, in your Father's house is many mansions. If it wasn't so, you wouldn't have told us so. You took a good soldier home, Father, to be with you. So we're going to rejoice just like you told us to do. We're going to rejoice, Father God, because one day we know for certain we all too must go one day. Father God, we ask that you cover everyone on this prayer line, their family, as we go out through this year, as 18 rains out and 19 rains in. Father God, a lot of people are suffering, missing loved ones, but let us not miss them in sadness, but in gladness, knowing that they are in heaven with you. And to be in heaven with you is a good thing. Let us not learn to be angry and question you and ask you why, but to accept that it is your perfect will, that when our earthly work is done on this earth, that we too shall be gone. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. These blessings be asking your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen and thank God.
Thank you so much, Minister Paula Cloud. Thank you for those blessings. And my condolences go out to you for your mother-in-law. And I ask that everybody lift Minister McLeod, her family, and the family of the deceased woman up. Because, you know, once our loved ones died, the family's in need of prayer then. So keep that in tune. And we have to learn to pray for one another. So I thank you, Sister Paula, and continue to pray for us as we'll pray for you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else would like to pray? Anyone would like to give words of encouragement? Anyone is in need of a prayer? Well, I'm going to say a short prayer because I'm going to say a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of my soul, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we see how debt entered into the world, and it was way back then, and debt is still doing this thing. But Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon us and pray for the families. I have two class reunion classmates that died in 1 week, dear God. I'm asking that you strengthen their families and hold them up. I have a dear friend in the hospital. Her name is Trishette Carr. God, they say that she have too much oxygen in her body, carbon monoxide in her body, dear God. But we know that you are a heart fixer, mind regulator, and a healer. Lord, look down upon her. Don't let her suffer, dear God, and let your will be done in her life. Strengthen her mother who's sitting by her bedside, dear God, and her father and all of her family. Strengthen them, dear God, that they could continue to hold on and be there for one another, dear God. Thank you, dear God, for your word on tonight. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you illuminate whatever you want for each and every one of us. Because we cannot understand it fully without you. This is my prayer. I'm asking that you keep in prayer Diane McBride and her sons. They're in need of prayer. All of us are in need of prayer, dear God. Please help us and guide us and protect us and direct us and bring us to our intended purpose in Christ Jesus is my prayer. Amen, and thank God. And if there's nothing else to be said on tonight, we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. And I'll say my favorite benediction, because it is my desire that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God. And that's our program for tonight. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back on next week, same time, same number. So I encourage each and every one of you to walk with your head up high, knowing that God is by your side. Nothing can take him by surprise. And each and every day, he's working it out that you may rise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Good night.